The first reading for the Monday of Holy Week is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Truly, the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. They seek to put to death the one raised from the dead, so that no one will believe that he has been raised from the dead. It is astounding logic. It is blind rage. As if the one who raised him long dead could not also raise him who was slain. This is also a preview of what is to come in but a matter of days. Putting to death the one who raised the dead. What they cannot do to Lazarus, they do to Jesus. And Jesus, in turn, does for them what he did for Lazarus, what they cannot do for themselves. Jesus raises the long dead and the slain, Lazarus and himself. Maybe Lazarus, even though he is raised from the dead, will still die. Perhaps people will not believe in Jesus any longer if the one he raised dies a second time, even if those people witnessed the original miracle. Or more nefariously, perhaps people will no longer follow Jesus if the message is sealed with enough blood that to follow him is certain death. All of this is a preview of the Christian life and that spiritual war which rages between flesh and spirit, him who raised from the dead and him who wishes you had stayed dead, him who believes and him who does not, the friend of Jesus and the one opposed to Jesus. This life is a hard life. But sometimes the best things in life are the hard things, because the hard things force you to rise up and above, to be better than you are, to be strong, to rely upon the Lord's mercy to succeed. The Catholic theologian Thomas Merton writes, souls are like athletes that need opponents worthy of them if they are to be tried and extended and pushed to the full use of their powers and rewarded according to their capacity. The beginning of your life is not conception or even birth. It is rebirth, baptism. What Jesus does for you there is exactly what he does for Lazarus in Bethany. He calls you long dead out of the darkness of the tomb and into life within his glorious light. He awakens you at morning's dawn. He gives you the tongue of the learned to speak holy things. He awakens your ears to hear holy things spoken by his holy voice. Once you are alive in him, he calls you to follow him. He trains your soul to be an athlete, not for entertainment or even for the rush, but for the joy you may experience in growing into yourself, discovering your potential, pushed to be better in holiness, and rewarded at the last. Greater than the Pharisees seeking to do to Lazarus what they wished to do to Jesus is that Jesus does for you what he does for Lazarus. He raises you to newness of life in him. God helps you. You cannot be disgraced by man. You can live in holiness. You can be holy to the world, living the loving Jesus. And you can do this with the guarantee that what happens to Jesus happens to you. Persecution, false witness, evil from one side, but always mercy, always joy, always hope, always love, and never disgrace from the divine side. Why? Because Jesus has called you out of that tomb. But the Pharisees seek the death of Lazarus because he points to, follows, and loves Jesus. These Pharisees live in each of you, not wanting to be pushed, not wanting to be better, not appreciating a change in the status quo or a reformation of understanding. It is the battle against an allure of what gets left behind in the tomb. And the Pharisees of the heart want to send you back into the tomb. They want to make you who are alive dead once again. Jesus calls you to greatness through difficulty. Lazarus does not stop following Jesus because the Pharisees want him dead. Now he has new eyes, new ears, and a new tongue. And he has a newfound faith that can only come from one who was dead and now is alive. The Lord will help you. He only asks that you follow him to his death, not return to yours, that you walk into his tomb, not back into yours. If the Pharisees that still live within your heart do get you on the way, he will help you. But they will not. So don't worry. The Pharisees never get Lazarus, even though they do get Jesus. Who will contend with you? Who is your adversary? Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. You can keep exercising your souls, keep pushing, keep following Jesus, and rely upon his God. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen.